I'm always excited to have a conversation with Ryan McFadyen, co-founder and head of strategy at Have You Heard, and our resident guru on all things trend, or mega trend, is particularly insofar as the way that they impact the way we do business and the way we live our lives. Today, we're talking about the evolution of the bar.
Breakfast with Refilo Emolato
on Cape Talk.
Ryan, good morning. How are you doing?
I'm so well, thanks, Bill. How are you?
I'm excellent. We're just trying to figure out this latest ruling that kind of making South Africans choose between alternate citizenships. I have either South African or South African to choose from, so my life's a little easier. I denied the green card I was offered. But yeah, anyway, it's an interesting one that boggles the mind. But other things that are boggling the mind, which we always love hearing from you, is the new trend with respect to bars. What is on the go?
Yeah, so there's two major trends that really have shaken up the world of the bar, right? So the first is, and it's a trend that's been coming for a while. It's the low alcohol and no alcohol beverage trend, which I think a lot of people have kind of tapped into, and we're seeing the likes of Castle, AB InBev, Heineken, et cetera, bringing it out. And we're also seeing spirits coming out that are obviously low or no alcohol. But what we've started to see more recently post the COVID pandemic and even slightly prior to has been the successive extensive growth in low alcohol or no alcohol bars. And this has really been driven by Gen Z consumers who are known to drink less than their predecessors. In fact, the millennials are known to drink less than the baby boomers, and the baby boomers are known to drink less than. And so as generations have gone along, each generation drinks less alcohol. And it's driven by the fact that people have become more aware of the negative impact of alcohol. And so this is something that is originally started in the US, has extended over into Europe, is now spreading into Australasia and Asia, and it's something that we're seeing probably in the next year or two would probably spread into South Africa. And it's an interesting environment, seeing a non-alcohol or low-alcohol bar that operates exactly like a normal bar, right? So it's going to be interesting to see how that spreads.
I wonder, I mean, I think you're right that every subsequent generation cares a little bit more about its health, but I feel as though the drinking has been the tough nut to crack in South Africa in particular. It's such a big part of our ethos, or at least our culture. We remain very high in terms of the liters of alcohol we consume per year compared to the rest of the world. I think we're still in the top 10, if not top 5. Are you sure about this trend ultimately getting to us?
Yeah, listen, I mean, it's been much slower than it has been in globally. If you start to look at key markets around the world, the 10 key markets that are really driving this trend have been the likes of the USA, Germany, Japan, and Brazil. But we definitely are seeing growth within that non-alcohol aspect. Listen, I mean, it's always going to be the non-alcohol trend is always going to be more of a luxury element. I mean, a lot of people drink alcohol for the effect of alcohol, not necessarily the taste of alcohol. And from an upper income market, it's something that does become a luxury that you can, for instance, have a beer without the alcohol to enjoy the flavor of the beer. But when you're drinking it purely from a functional perspective, which a lot of the lower to middle income market tend to do, and for a number of reasons, when you start to look into the psyche of that specific market, it is something that is starting to gain momentum, not as fast as globally, but is something that is starting to gain momentum within the South African market.
What I find interesting as well, particularly amongst this generation, is the love of other, I suppose, what's the hallucinatory or contents. They prefer to take marijuana. Maybe they prefer to take Molly. Maybe they prefer to take MDMA, as opposed to drinking, and have various reasons for why those are more healthy.
Yeah, listen, I mean, there's a number of benefits. I mean, we start to see people and the youth specifically who are becoming more high performance, right? I don't have time for a hangover. I've got to start my day tomorrow. Right. I've got to go surfing. I've got to go to work. And it's very much a movement. And that's why we're starting to see things like, you know, people who are looking for the traditional functional benefits of alcohol, but they're utilizing other mediums. It's also a huge trend that, and that's the second trend that we're really speaking around, where we're starting to see globally the growth of cannabis bars. And it's interesting. So if you start to look at the US specifically, because this trend is starting to grow as marijuana, as psychedelics, et cetera, become, or psychedelics haven't gotten there yet, but as cannabis and marijuana becomes legal in countries around the world or in territories around the world, the US specifically is seeing this trend grow at a massive rate, and to the point where the US hospitality industry actually is recommends that a bar can stock between 0.5 to 1 gram of marijuana per maximum visit to capacity for the venue. So it's not calculated on, I have 10 people in my bar right now. It's calculated on my bar's maximum capacity is 100 people. Now, what I found really interesting has been one of the challenges, and it's something that I've spoken about extensively with a number of friends as we start to talk to them, is that everyone doses differently, you know, whether it's psychedelics or marijuana. And so how do you deal with that? So can I have, I know when I drink alcohol and I drink too much, I know kind of the effects, but how do you actually stop people from having too much THC or too much marijuana in their beverages or in their edibles, et cetera? And so how they've addressed it in these bars is that they've got a bartender, and the bartender is responsible for the mixing of the drinks. And then they have a bud tender, and a bud tender is responsible for monitoring the dosage selected by each consumer. So for instance, you'll say, listen, I normally can only take the equivalent of one joint or one bud or three edibles, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And so they will actually then monitor and manage that dosage within your drink or the number of edibles that you're able to have, and they sort of cut you off as you get too far. So it's a really interesting program that we're starting to see as this starts to grow, and that's then also then driving the growth in THC infused drink, which is picking up in markets where it's legal. We're starting to see in the last year alone cannabis infused beverages that contain THC growing by 40.3% in 2020 versus 2019. So you are starting to see the THC infused drinks starting to grow extensively in line with the cannabis bar movement.
I can see this trend being massive here in SA actually.
Yeah, I think it's the one that's going to have the biggest.
Yeah. Once the legality is sorted out, yeah.
Absolutely. Because of you can argue it from a number of ways. People will talk about the health benefits of marijuana. They'll talk about the aspects. But the real thing, if you look at it psychologically or as a consumer movement, you get the buzz of alcohol without the hangover the next day, right? So that's really where it becomes most attractive.
Sure. We've had one of your colleagues on talking to us about psychedelics in the past as well, and definitely making a very strong case for it, for them. And in particular, with respect to this, I think this will be very interesting to observe. If we could just get the constitutionality of it in terms of being able to trade out of the way. Always such a pleasure, Ryan. I'm really excited to see this one take off. Ryan McFadyen is head of strategy and co-founder of Have You Heard, as well as always giving us a perspective on the mega trends around the world that are impacting the way that we live our lives and do business. It's